The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Harhikari, recorded on January 5th, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
Bijamam sarvabhutanam vidhiparatasanatanam budhir budhi matam asmi Tejas Tejas Vinamaham. O Sanaprita, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. Purport. Bijam means seed. Krishna is the seed of everything. There are various living entities, movable and inert. Birds, beasts, men, and many other living creatures are moving living entities. Trees and plants, however, are inert. They cannot move, but only stand. Every entity is contained within the scope of 8,400,000 species of life. Some of them are moving, some of them are inert. In all cases, however, the seed of their life is Krishna. As stated in Vedic literature, Brahman, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, is that from which everything is emanating. Krishna is Parabrahman, Supreme Spirit. Brahman is impersonal, and Parabrahman is personal. Impersonal Brahman is situated in the personal aspect that is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, originally, Krishna is the source of everything. He is the root. As the root of a tree maintains the whole tree, Krishna, being the original root of all things, maintains everything in this material manifestation. This is also confirmed in the Vedic literature, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Nichau nichanam chaitanas chaitananam ekabohunam yo vidyadati kaman. He is the prime eternal among all eternals. He is the supreme living entity of all living entities, and He alone is maintaining all life. One cannot do anything without intelligence, and Krishna also says that He is the root of all intelligence. Unless a person is intelligent, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Oma jnana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantika. This knowledge is lacking. This most essential knowledge is lacking in the world. Therefore, the whole world is in chaotic condition. They do not know who and what is the root of all existence. They are imagining there is some molecular soup, some lightning strikes it, and it's just absurd. They have so many speculations, there's a big bang. We have the perfect explanation coming from that person who is the origin of everything. But that they do not want to take. They want to give their own opinion. If you want to know something about something, find the person who created it. He is the authority. Just like in India, and one Bengali gentleman, he wrote a drama, Shah Jahan, that Shah Jahan who built the Taj Mahal. So, he wrote one drama, Shah Jahan. But the whole drama was about Aurangzeb. all the atrocities he was committing, horrible atrocities. We know that Aurangzeb, he is the rascal who devastated Vrindavan, smashing temples. Horrible tyrant. So the drama was about the atrocities of Aurangzeb. But yet it was named Shah Jahan, the father of Aurangzeb. So one gentleman, he was curious how it is called Shah Jahan when the whole play is about Aurangzeb. So he approached the author and he asked him why. And he explained that actually that Aurangzeb, he locked up his father in the prison in Agra, put him in prison. And the father, he's there taking all the agony of his son's atrocities. It's devastating his heart. So the author said he is the actual hero of this drama, because he is the one who is taking all the suffering in his heart. So how would you know why the play is called Shah Jahan when it's about Aurangzeb? If you ask the author, then it is very easy to know. So if you ask the author of the creation how it has come about, you can move forward. There's no need to sit far back. Come sit up here. Come on. We're a family here. Family that sits together, stays together. So, if we go to that person who is the author of the creation, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam, if we go to that person from whom everything is coming, and from him we hear how it's coming, very good. If from here we hear how it is coming, from him we hear how it is coming, then we get very good information. And we know precisely, scientifically, exactly how it is coming. What can we speculate with these imperfect senses, imperfect minds? The theories are always changing. But if we go to that person who knows everything perfectly, then from him we get everything. One-stop shopping. We don't have to go here and there and everywhere. We simply, everything, Krishna. From Krishna we get everything. We get our necessities, we get our knowledge, we get love. Everything that we need is there in Krishna. So we should not be diverted to go somewhere else, to the material nature, to the cinema house, to the rugby field. We should not be diverted to go anywhere. You see, everything is here in Krishna. All happiness, all satisfaction, all love, all peace. Everything wonderful beyond what we could even imagine. It's all available in Krishna. This faith we must cultivate very, very strongly. We must cultivate this faith. Why? Because the material nature is pulling us the opposite direction. Pulling us away from Krishna. At every minute, Maya Devi is there trying to divert the mind. What are you doing in this Krishna consciousness movement? Get out. Come. Illicit sex, come, intoxication, come, eating whatever you want. Maya Devi is always pulling. Come away from this Krishna consciousness. Come back to my clutches. We see how so many people do in fact leave our movement. I've been in this movement now for 36 years. I've seen them come, I have seen them go. Those who actually stay are a very small percentage of those who come. So how can we protect ourselves if we do not go away? We have to very seriously cultivate Krishna consciousness. Krishna wants all of our love. Ananyaschintayantamang yejana paryupasate tesham nityapi yuktanam yogachemam gahamyam. To those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Krishna doesn't want to share the spotlight with anyone else. He wants all of our love. 100%. Everything. Krishna wants everything. So are we prepared to give Krishna everything? Or are we holding back? Prabhupada one time said, Krishna does not see what you are giving to him. He sees what you are holding back. In the Bible, there's a story, one woman, she's a very poor woman. Whatever little money she had, she gave everything to Lord Jesus. And some wealthy man who has huge riches, he's giving some lump of money, but for him it's nothing. It's big money, but for him it's nothing. So Christ is seeing how this woman, she's actually acting in love, in bhakti, devotion. Because she's giving everything she has. So this we must learn, how to give whatever we may have, big, little, it doesn't matter. We must give everything to Krishna. Sometimes those who give just little, they are criticized. But the Lord, He doesn't think badly. He sees what, how much they are giving of what they have. Not how much they are giving, but how much they are giving of what they have. If they are giving 100%, and that he sees that as a very big thing. Even though by material calculation it may be a very, very small thing they are giving, but that 100%, that satisfies the Lord like anything. Just like in that Ram Leela, you know, that spider. He was thinking, I will help Lord Ram build the bridge to Lanka. So he was taking his little legs, he was putting some dust in the ocean. And Hanuman is saying, Who do you think you are? You're nothing. I'm big. I'm putting big boulders, you're putting a little dust. But Ram chastised Hanuman. But Hanuman, no, he is serving as well as you. So, that is what is seen by Krishna. If you are giving everything you have, then that is big. That is a very big thing. Whatever position you are in, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, it doesn't matter what position you are in, but simply whatever you have, give everything to Krishna. Give everything to Krishna. Do not hold anything back. And then Krishna will see, yes, this person is my devotee. He is sold out to me, completely sold out to me. Even if you have no material facility, just by meditating on complete surrender, that South Indian Brahmin, he achieved perfection just by meditating. He had no facility, absolutely no facility. But he would sit on the bank of the Godavari River and he would meditate on making very nice prasad, bhog, offering for the Lord. This preparation and that preparation, all just, he had no bhoga to make actual offering. But in his mind he was lovingly making so many varieties of preparation, big, big, big feast. And he was meditating on that sweet rice. And as you know, when the sweet rice is cool, it is very tasty. So he was thinking, now I have meditated on cooking the sweet rice. Now before offering, I must test it to make sure it is cooled down nicely. But it was still hot, and his finger burned, and his meditation was so intense that he opened his hand, he actually burned his finger. His meditation was so intense, he actually burned his finger. So Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, he is seeing everything. Oh, what a great devotee he is. So he sent Vaikuntha airplane, came down and picked him up and take him back to Godhead. So just see, by his sincerity, even he had no facilities. Simply by his intense sincerity, he achieved the highest perfection of going back to home, back to Godhead. So we must simply be very, very, very sincere about this process of Krishna consciousness. That yes, I must completely surrender myself to my spiritual master. I must completely surrender myself to Lord Krishna without holding even the slightest thing back. Ahaitaki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. If we simply have this mood of uninterrupted bhakti, then everything will become crystal clear for us. We will know exactly what to do at every step. There won't be any confusion. Because Krishna within the heart, He will give us the intelligence. To those who are constantly devoted and worship Me with love, I give them the understanding how to come to Me. That devotee who is purely absorbed in serving Krishna, he's not devoted at any step. Because Krishna is guiding him. You do like this, now you do like that, now you do like this. The only time we become bewildered is when we are still thinking how we can satisfy our desires for sense gratification. That's when there is bewilderment. We're torn between Krishna and sense gratification. That's the bewildering position. But if we are very seriously and soberly fixed in devotional service mood, then we'll never be bewildered, we'll never be confused. In the beginning, Arjuna was bewildered and confused. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. Pashami tvang dharma samuddha cheta. Miserly weakness overcame Arjuna. Because he was thinking in terms of the body and the pleasure of the body. That if I kill all of these kinsmen, then how can I enjoy my senses? In society, friendship and love. There will be no more family enjoyment if the family is annihilated. He's thinking in terms of the family. This is a difficult thing to get over. Family attachment. If I ask you, how many family members do you have? What will you say? How many people are in your family? What will you say? Well, 5 or 6. Start counting. But actually, the answer, it's a trick question. The real answer is, there's an infinite number of jivas in your family. Because we are all one family. We are Krishna Gotra. We are all the emanations of God, Krishna. So our family is all living entities. Every single living entity is our family member. So that is actual family attachment. How to deliver the family members back home, back to Godhead. One who actually loves the family members, he preaches, he dedicates his life for preaching this Krishna consciousness movement. Whomever he meets, he wants to inject within them Krishna consciousness. But the problem is, we're thinking this person is my family and that person is not my family. This is material conception. Simply material conception. What does Prabhupada say? Skin disease. Sometimes people think, well, I'm an Indian, therefore I should have a guru who's an Indian. Skin disease. Or someone thinks, oh, I want to have a guru who's, you know, American, because I'm American. This is the mentality of a person who is Naraki, a resident of hell. Actually, simply a resident of hell. Yashatma buddhi kunape tridaduke svadi kalatradishu bhoma ijadi. Yatirta bhule salile nakarhachit janesha bhagesha sa eva gokaraha. Those persons who consider this bodily bag of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, to be the self, who consider their family members to be those persons who are related with their body, who consider the place where they grew up to be a holy place of pilgrimage because that's where they were born, who go to a holy place to take bath but they don't want to hear from the sadhus, or you could say who come to the temple for darshan but don't want to hear the class. Same thing. What is their position? They are compared to cow and ass. No intelligence. So we should never think that my family members, that is simply those persons who are in relationship with this body. We must always remember what is that greater family. And we must try to think how we can bring all the family members back into one big happy family once again, as we were previously before we came to this rotten place in this material world. So the Vaishnava, his quality, compassion. He wants to save everyone. He wants to convince everyone to join this Krishna consciousness process. He wants to convince everyone to become a part of the Hare Krishna movement. Because he can't stand to see the family members suffering. He can't tolerate it. It pains him like anything. Prabhupada was again and again revealed, in many situations he revealed his intense compassion for the fallen conditioned soul. It broke his heart to see how much they were suffering in material existence. Therefore he dedicated every ounce of his energy for spreading this movement, even at great difficulty with an old man's body, two heart attacks, traveling constantly, which is very hard on the health. simply out of compassion. He could have stayed in one place and simply translated the books, but he wanted to enliven us, his disciples. He knew how much we depended on his, on seeing him and being with him. And it's a fact, when we got a chance to see Prabhupada, it was so wonderful to see him sit at his lotus feet and hearing him give the class. Be able to raise your hand and ask him a question. I mean, it was a really special thing. The greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe sitting right there in front of you, and you can raise your hand and ask him a question. It was incredible. It's an incredible feeling. So he knew how much we depended on his physical presence. Therefore, with great difficulty, he constantly traveled around the world. And for translating, he wouldn't sleep. During the day, when we were awake, he would be awake to preach to us, to answer our letters. And at night, when we were sleeping, he would be translating the books. He would sleep only 3.5 hours. He would take hour and a half nap after lunch, and then at night he would sleep from 10 till midnight and get up at midnight and translate. Just see how much loving was Srila Prabhupada, how kind he was. So we have to try to develop that mood of compassion ourselves by serving his mission. Understanding Prabhupada's burning desire to bless everyone with Krishna consciousness. We have to carry forward that spirit of wanting to inundate this planet with Krishna bhakti. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Repeat the verse. Yeah. O Sthanaprita, know that I am the original seed of all existence, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. So this verse establishes that everything is coming from Krishna. This concept is also repeated in another verse. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. It's the same concept. Twice it's appearing in Bhagavad Gita. And the prowess of all powerful men. That is a manifestation of Krishna. But especially significant here is the first point. I'm the original seed of all existences. Nothing exists save and except Krishna desiring for it to exist. Nothing exists independently of Krishna. Sometimes foolish rascals say, well, then what is the origin of Krishna's existence? What will be the answer? How will you answer them? You tell them that Krishna is the origin of everything, and they say, alright, now tell me what is the origin of Krishna. What will you say, Vishwanath Prabhu? What is the origin of Krishna? What will you say?
Krishna has no origin.
Anadhyam, Pramaji. Well, we can also say this, but if he has an origin, it is he himself. He is manifesting himself by his desire to be, to exist. So actually Krishna has no origin, but if they insist, no, you must tell me what is his origin is, yes, then his origin is Krishna. Krishna's origin is Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of everything. So if we accept Krishna as existing within the category of everything, then Krishna is the origin of Krishna. He's self-manifested. Then someone may ask, why is he existing? Do you know the answer for that, Jai Ramguru? Why does Krishna exist? Do you know why he exists? Do you know why Krishna exists? That's right. Simply to enjoy. It's cool to exist. For the sheer pleasure of it. He has no duty to perform for anyone. He's simply enjoyer. Rama, supreme enjoyer. Nothing else, no other duty. Simply enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. So everything Krishna does is simply for his enjoyment. So anyone else have a question? Yeah.
Since Krishna is an enjoyer and we all come from Krishna, then why can't we enjoy?
Yes, if Krishna is the enjoyer and we all come, since Krishna is the enjoyer and we all come from Krishna, then why can't we enjoy? Actually, you can enjoy. But you simply have to know what is the art of enjoyment. Consider the body, for example. The hand, it needs to get the benefit of the food in order to be healthy. But can that hand directly enjoy the food? No. Give a nice gulab jamun. Can that hand enjoy that gulab jamun? Maybe a little stickiness might feel good, but you can't really get satisfaction. You see? That will give you a nice, you've been fasting all day, and now we'll give you a nice feast, and you can only touch it. You can't put it in your mouth. That would be frustrating. The bodily parts, when they agree to serve the stomach, they all get their required nutrition. So yes, you can enjoy. Susukam, that is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Susukam. It is simply recreation, Prabhupada explained. If one looks very carefully to tend to the needs, the desires of that supreme enjoyer, because you are not, our position is we are one and different from God. We are not separated from God, actually. It's like the hand is connected with the body. We are connected with Krishna. One and different. So because we are connected with Him, if He becomes satisfied, then we become satisfied automatically. We may try to enjoy by being separate, but that is an artificial position. One may have the illusion of enjoyment by trying to enjoy separately from the world. But that enjoyment is called Maya Sukhaya. It is not actual enjoyment. But if we will see to the enjoyment of that Supreme Person, Krishna, God, if we will see to His enjoyment because we are not different, we are connected, that enjoyment will automatically come to us also. This is why it is stated that the devotee of the Lord, he enjoys on equal level with God. Consider the example, the servant of the king. Does he not live in the same palace? Does not the king give him nice silk clothings? Does he not attend all the festivals and get all the king is the first to taste, but then everyone, all the servants eat the same feast. So the servant of the king, he enjoys an equal level with the king. But if someone thinks, oh, the king, why he is considered the number one man, I will become king. I will have a coup. And where does he end up? Down in the dungeon. With rats and some old rotten cheese and bread. He's barely survived. You see? So why try to enjoy separately from God? Simply try to satisfy the Lord and you will see that your enjoyment becomes brahma-saukhyam anantam. You will see that your enjoyment is unlimited. So yes, you can enjoy, but you have to do it intelligently. Not as a rebel, not as a coup artist. Like in Fiji, every time they have a government, someone thinks, now it's time for a coup. Not like the mentality here, coup, 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 coup. I told me in Brisbane that in Fiji all the pigeons go cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. So we cannot be thinking how to have a coup in the spiritual world. How we can occupy Krishna's position. You see? He has the most beautiful girl, Radharani. I would like Radharani. You see? How can I get Radharani as my lover? No. You should simply think how we can serve the wonderful loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna so that they can have more joy in their relationship with each other. How they can enjoy each other even more. Let me serve that relationship. Then our pleasure becomes not different from the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So don't be envious. Envy is the greatest enemy. Do not be envious. Simply be the humble servant and then you will enjoy equally as God. Next question. Yeah, you are bright.
So once you start serving Krishna, like you said, the king, when you stay in the king's palace, the king gives you, you stay in the palace, he gives you food to eat, everything gives. So once you serve the food to Krishna, since he's the king, so when you taste that food, it becomes more tastier, like Mahaprasad. So my question is, since when you start serving Krishna, then this the enemy which is called lust, envy and anger, you start to attack us all the time and take us away from the service of Krishna. So how can we avoid?
Let me see if I understand your question. When we serve Krishna, lust, anger and greed go away?
Yes, they take us away from the service.
They're taken away, they go away. So what is the question? How do they go away?
How can we fight this?
How you can overcome them?
Yes.
Yes. That's a very, very good question. Thank you very much. Lust, anger and greed, these are great enemies of the conditioned soul who's trying to awaken the dormant love of God within the heart. If you can apply these in the service of Krishna, they all become purified. Instead of thinking how you can enjoy, think how you can give enjoyment to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada gives an example. Businessman. He said a Krishna conscious businessman. See, what motivates a businessman? Greed. He wants to become wealthy. He's inspired by greed. Money, 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 money. Isn't it? So, Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the world. So if we offer the fruit of our work to Krishna, then we can be greedy. Yes, how can I put everyone else out of business and make my, you know, business the most successful business in the world? Krishna conscious businessman can think like that. Why? Because he wants to get more and more money that can be used directly in the service of Krishna. So Prabhupada explains that actually everything can be used for Krishna except for envy. Anger, we can use anger. If we're angry how these scientists are saying that everything is coming by a chance combination of material elements, then we can preach very strongly and boldly against these rascal scientists, you see. In this way we can use anger. Of course, you have to be successful, you have to do it in a cool-headed way. Prabhupada told us. But you can vent your feelings of anger in a very, if you do it in a cool way, a cool-headed way, you can definitely use that disgust. And I mean, it's disgusting to see the way people are living in Suva. It's disgusting to see the advertisements and what they eat and what they drink. It's disgusting when they feel angry. So why are they violating every principle given in the scriptures? How this can be going on? One can be angry at the government. If one does that in a positive way, in a mood of service, that, you know, you can, that anger can also be utilized for preaching. But I can't stand to see all this nonsense going on. It disturbs the mind. Become angry and disturbed. Why are they doing that? Why are they killing cows? You see, to be angry. So we must do something intelligent to put a stop to it. So in this way you can utilize these things. If you use everything in a positive way for Krishna, then you become purified. And as far as lust, actually Prabhupada said when in the early days, just like boys, they're attracted to girls, isn't it? So Prabhupada said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna. And he will dance rasa dance with them. So that way you can use the lusty tendency. Well, let's take all these beautiful women and engage them in Krishna's service. I have a tendency to enjoy women, so let me take that tendency and enjoy seeing them serving Krishna. Enjoy engaging them in Krishna's service. Actually, Prabhupada mentions that desire to enjoy the women becomes gratified by engaging in Krishna's service. So in that way, lust. Don't you try to enjoy them, you see. But you can enjoy seeing how they are engaged in Krishna's service. In that way, the tendency to want to enjoy, that becomes satisfied also in Krishna's consciousness. So, we will stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.